Welcome to KHAM Radio, the show that challenges what you think you know. The world, if you believe media and government, is filled with terrorists and pandemics. But there's a better world out there, and it's called reality. Hi, I'm Kay, and you're listening to this show thanks to Ab at Fakeologist.com. The benefit of being a fakeologist is that we don't have to worry about terrorists or pandemics because these are just scare campaigns. There's a lot of fakery out there, and we need to talk about it. Turns out, reality is pretty amazing. I thought that my journey to figure this all out was about facts and data, but it's about working with other people. Information and collaboration is a very powerful tool, and you are the key. Come to Fakeologist.com and join some conversations, or start one yourself.
Hello, everybody. This is KHAM Radio, episode 44, the big one four. It's August 13th, 2015. Today's show is about the sounds of Italy. I just got back from a trip visiting Simon Shack in Hoi Polloi in Italy. I was with Vadir also. We met up, had some amazing conversations, some good food, and great company. Italy was hot. Europe was having a heat wave. And since I'm a Washington State native, I was like, I am melting. I am melting here. Someone get me some air conditioning. Doesn't exist in Italy. Well, the hotel had it, though, so we were saved by the hotel. All right, let me do one check here. Make sure I'm going out live. Seem to have problems that way. The only way I can do that is listen to myself on my phone. 5, 4, 3. Really? There we go. We're coming through nice and live. I can continue talking. Sounds of Italy. So I thought it would be fun to just take you through a trip using just the sounds of Italy. So first, we start off on the plane. I don't know if you can hear that, but the announcement's in Italian. So, on the airplane. There you go. I was amazed to find out as we were leaving Toronto, because it went from the route went from Seattle to Toronto, then Toronto to Italy. As we were leaving Toronto, so when I was in Toronto, I was specifically looking for chemtrails, specifically because Ab had said, hey, I don't see chemtrails. So I don't see anything. However, as we're leaving Italy, I mean, leaving Toronto, we're up, you know, flying pretty much above the clouds. I look back at Toronto, and there's a big crisscrossy, hatchy covering of clouds like a cap just over Toronto. I have the video of it. Now, it could have been an optical illusion because the sun was setting precisely behind Toronto at this point. So whatever particulate in the air, it might have been lighting up, but it really felt like there was a cap of like smog purposely laid out over Toronto as their chemtrail thing. So I don't know. It felt like that to me. All right. Another plane sound.
Once again, ensure your chair tables and your chair backs are in a vertical position. Your cabin baggage is well stored in your seat belt and securely fastened. If you're using any electronic equipment, you need to return to your seat.
Yeah, if you're using electronic equipment, well, I know people who work for Boeing, and they said on that using your phones on a plane idea, that if you're using a cell phone, there's no data whatsoever, no study, no anything to show that electronics in any way interfere with any type of plane function or plane radar or any other type of plane communication. I don't know why we're doing it then. Someone said, well, we don't know what it does. Maybe we should do that just in case. Still, to this day, there's no evidence to show communication would do anything. I always thought, wouldn't it be funny if the whole idea was so that you didn't find out you can't use phones on a plane? You don't want to learn that, because then how the 9/11 terrorists, hijackers, how did those people call from their planes if you can't use phones on a plane, you see? So we got to make sure you don't use phones on a plane so you don't figure that out. Connecting this to another issue, instead of phones on a plane, satellites and phones. Is a plane in the sky, is it closer to satellites or is it closer to cell towers? What do you think, satellites or cell towers? Well, whatever it's closer to, if you care to research it, then you would think that would be how you would talk on the phone on an airplane. You would think. But we all know that you don't get any reception because a plane is way too far from a tower. I think I looked at the statistics for a cell phone to connect to a tower. The maximum distance ever recorded was about 6 miles. The specs say in the best conditions you could hear up to 10 miles, but usually it's within a mile or two of a tower. So you need a tower every mile or two. So it's not that far. So cell towers really can't transmit or receive from long distances away. On another topic. All right. We have one more sound. Let's see if you can guess what this is. We have about 10 or so sounds of Italy. Welcome to Cahan Radio, episode 44, Sounds of Italy. That is the cicada, the cicada. The cicadas were alive and well and singing their little song all over Italy. Once in a while, if you're like talking in a place where there's a lot of trees, they get so loud you just have to stop talking. Okay, finish your song because it gets so loud you stop talking. Oh, that was too loud. Let me turn that down. All right, this next Sounds of Italy is from the Rifondazione Partito Comunista, their Reformed Communist Party. So Simon took us to a nice little dinner. They were having a function at the park, sort of like music in the park. So there was a band there, and it was the Partito Comunista. And they are of the party Sinistra Europea, so the left party in Europe. The leftist party. Isn't it funny? Leftist is sinistra, like sinister. That means left. Isn't that interesting? And they played some wonderful tunes. They were the nicest people. And my son, he was like, communists? Why? Well, then Simon explained that communists in Europe are more like friendly Democrats, right? They just want to help out. They're the people who want to, you know, to help feed the hungry, to help the down and out and downtrodden. So the Reformed Communist Party is not the party that wants to redo the government, although, you know, don't we all? They just want to help the people. That was the whole idea. Help the people. Yeah, I mean, yeah, reform the government as much as can be, but what I was taught in school, that all communists wanted to strip the rich of their money and divide it equally among everybody so we're all the same. But this party wasn't, no, not, this was very practical. Let's feed the hungry. Let's help people who need help. Actually sounded like a great idea. Let's listen to a little bit of that. So this is the band that was on stage playing. It was funny because right in the middle of this band's performance, there were a group of women soccer players or football players, and they must have had a good season because there's this song they kept singing when it was time to do shots, right in the middle of the performance. I thought it was so funny. It was like a group of eight to 12 of them all doing this song, da-da-da-da-da. Let's see if we can hear it. I'm like, they don't even care the band's playing. And no one even was upset, like, dude, the band's playing. Nobody cared. You kind of heard them screaming in the background there. It's kind of cute. And which one was that? Let's listen to some more band. They got another song.
Un cavallo tende il collo verso il prato e sta fermo come me.
You can kind of, you can hear Hoy and Simon talking in the background here.
Faccio un passo, lui mi vede, è già fuggito, respiro.
Had such a good time with Hoy and Simon. Hoy is so sweet. He's the funniest, nicest guy you'll ever meet. I wish everyone could have a one-on-one with Hoy and experience that. All right, what's the next one? Oh, this is Church Bells in Frascati. The footsteps are Vidir and me walking through the cobblestone little alleyways with the church bells in the background. Oh, I think we're done. Let's listen to them bells one more time. They're so pretty. It was so, Frascati is on a hill, so there's stairs everywhere, up to the church, down from the church, up to the market, down from the market, everywhere. And old people, so you have this like frail little old man and woman just barely walking, and then you're like, oh my God, they're going to try and go down those stairs. There's like 500 steps, and they're doing it. And I imagine that's how they got up there. It's like, what a great way to keep in shape, walking up and down those steps in Frascati. I'm not sure what... I renamed these, so I don't know what they are anymore. So let's listen to the next one. Oh, that's me walking through Simon's garden in his backyard. He has a persimmon tree. And so when the persimmons come off, the little caps on the persimmons, they get all dry and crunchy. Yeah, I think I got like 8 more minutes of that, but I think we're good. I think you got the idea. And this is Simon's bench swing. Thank you. and the bench swing faces out over Rome, all of Rome Valley. So it's from that swing you can see all the red rooftops of the houses and then the Rome lights below. It's just a beautiful, just this nice, beautiful panorama of it, image. But before that, there's all these vineyards, so grape after grapes after grapes. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And we have one last sound of Italy. Now this cicada, the other one was this, the first one was the cicadas at the hotel. These are the cicadas at Simon's house. This is one lone cicada, just one. At the hotel, you heard them all together. There you go. Sounds of Italy. I need to rename that file. Thank you, thank you. Here you go. It was a nice trip visiting Simon. And it's so weird because you hear the voices all the time. And then once you look at the face to match it to the voice, it's, first you have to adjust. What's that sound, that familiar sound coming out of someone's mouth in an unfamiliar face? But it doesn't take long to sync up. And I meant to visit Ab in Toronto. But I guess you got to give it at least an... I had an 8-hour layover, but we were an hour late. But then after we did all the, I had a few errands I had to do in the airport. I had about 3 hours left, and the guy said that wasn't enough time to get out and come back. That I would have to do like an entire day in order to visit Ab. So I was going to visit Alvarado, but it didn't work out. Well, we'll try and do that another day. Un otro dia. I learned a lot of Italian in Italy. Dove il bagno? Where's the bathroom? Dove l'acqua? Where's the water? And in Italy they have, like, everyone drinks the fizzy bottled water. So if you ask for bottled water, you just get the fizzy. Acqua frizzante. So you have to go acqua naturale. Natural water without the fizz. Without the fizz. So... no fizz. All right. Sounds of Italy, my friend. What else was going on? My son came upstairs this morning and said there was a big fire in China. And a bunch of people were dying and a bunch of factories were getting exploded. So I thought, really? And he says there's tons of pictures all over the internet. Tons. And I thought, well, that's how it should be. If it's a real event, you're going to have several images of it. If there's only one image, then it's a controlled event. And some, you have to admit, if there's only one or two images or videos on the internet of an event that hundreds of people were at, or at least dozens, you should have plenty of video, like the China event that happened recently. He said he found dozens and dozens of different videos on the internet of the fires and of people talking about it. So perhaps that's a natural event. I don't know. But anyway, it just sounds sad. So my thoughts and prayers to all those people in China who were harmed during that fire. But I was going to look that up. So let's look that up live, see what happens. Fire in China. Well, that's a, you know, massive blast rocks Chinese city of Tianjin. 44 dead, hundreds injured. At least 44. Hey, this is K-Ham episode 44. At least 44 dead. Chemical experts assess China blast site after 50 killed. Tianjin explosives, Daily Express, 11 hours ago. China's National Earthquake Bureau said the two Earthquake Bureau. Okay, I'll check on. I'll click on that one. Earthquake. Senior managers of a company which was the scene of a huge explosion in the city of Tianjin have been detailed as chemical specialists move into the site of devastation. The Chinese government has drafted in chemical specialists from the Chinese military to the scene after at least 50 people were killed and 700 injured in the horror blaze. Dramatic footage of the blast thought to have occurred when a shipment of explosives blew up. What? A shipment of explosives. Really? They're just shipping in explosives? It wasn't like accidental? Like a fire got to normal chemicals and then they exploded? A shipment of explosives blew up, showed it lighting up the night sky and showering burning debris across the vast expanse. They will remove the 700 tons of sodium cyanide at the site, it is understood. I like the translations to English. The explosion last night was so powerful it could be felt several hundred kilometers away in the Hubei province and was even seen from space. Ooh, with a giant mushroom cloud visible from the ground. Do we have a picture of that? I'm going to Google that. Chinese blast seen from space. Let's Google that. Blast seen from space. They even saw it from space. Well, you know how we feel here at fakeologist.com, or a lot of us, that we can't get to space on account of there ain't no oxygen to push off of. Let's do an image. See if they actually have it. Oh, the Daily Mirror. What? Visit page. Dramatic satellite footage. Oh, this is ridiculous. It looks like a tiny little fire, like a little tiny match, and then you can see it way up in space. Pfft. All right, we'll play the video, see what it says. It is loading currently. All right, mute that. Hold up. Mute. Skip ad. Play. Got to do all that business first. Of course, the mirror would not play that unless they were getting. Waiting for the sound to come through here. Oh, that is the worst. That is the worst CGI. It's just pixels. Just in a spot. Clearly, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I got to put this. I'm going to take this. Let's share this dumb video about the fire in China you could see from space. I'll drop that in the chat. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's not a fire from space. You just pasted a couple pixels on a video. That's not right. No. All right, so I think we debunked that, but let's not give up. There still might be a scene from space that's not the mirror. Oh, they're all the same. New York Daily News. See it. All right. Massive explosion seen from space. See it in capital letters. All right, let's see it. Oh, but from space, so sad. Fires are nasty business. Trying to do the space one. I'm looking. Well, the mirror was an easier one to look at. Well, I put the link. I think they're the same anyway. They're using the same fake from space video. look how they do that. Even if this is a real thing, which probably it is, they have to add that can be seen from space, like we can get to space, which I don't think we can. But look how they shove that in there. Shove it in. We're going to feed that to you. Feed that space shit to you every day. Make sure you get a good dose of that so you don't doubt it, because we keep talking about it. Because people's psyches have trouble understanding that they're being lied to all the time. And this is one of the ways they do it. Just shove it there. Throw it in every little story you can. Make sure that you got to believe everybody's lying to you in order to believe the truth. I think that's it there. That's a pretty sad story. I think we're good to go on that one, though. We're not going to view anymore. All right. I thought we would also go to fakealgy.com, see what's going on there. I noticed this whole Art Bell thing happening again. Art Bell, come on. Art Bell, he's the biggest liar in show business. He did a bunch of shows about, there's a guy in a plane that called in, "Hi, I'm flying over Area 51 right now." And how I know this is because me and my son, we did the Area 51 tour when we were in Vegas. And on the bus ride there to Area 51, the tour guide played the audio for the Art Bell show where he's featuring the guy in the plane flying over Area 51. And in the middle of this guy's flight, you hear him tell Art Bell, "There's someone following me. I don't know who it is. I don't know if I'll last much longer, but I'm going to try and go as long as I can." And then you hear the guy like something like, "There's something's coming past. They're shooting at me, I think." It's just ridiculous. It's completely made up. And Art Bell's on the other side going, "Well, I hope you're okay. Are you okay there? I think I've lost contact with him." It's completely scripted, completely stupid. Stupid made audio. So we know Art Bell is into lying. We know Art Bell is into falsifying the truth. So why would you debate a known liar? Anyone that hooks up with Art Bell now, I have to seriously consider them part of that charade, part of that falsifying information group, part of that gonna say anything we need to get ratings group. Whatever your motive is, I don't care. But Art Bell's already proven to be a liar on most of his shows. People say, "Oh, but he brings in good guests." Really? I have a feeling most of that crap was made up. There's a couple Art unique, you know, information unique to Art Bell. Like in Washington, here's another story that I highly suspect. There's a show about a hole in the ground in Washington State. This is on the eastern part, somewhere around Yakima. Supposedly, a guy called in to the Art Bell show about 10 years ago or so, and he said, "Yeah, there's a hole in my farm. We just been throwing garbage down it and stuff, but seems to be like it's an endless hole." Because the story goes, the guy, the farmer, wanted to find out how deep this hole was. So he bought a 40-foot, whatever, 50-foot roll of fishing line. And he put it on a pole, and he put a weight at the end, and he lowered the whole 50 feet down, still didn't touch the bottom, which meant the fishing line was still taut, the line hanging down, plumb. So he went to the store, and he bought several more rolls of 50-foot fishing line. And I think I'm not sure exactly, but something like he went down 400 feet and still couldn't find the bottom. So at this point, he declares the hole bottomless. The story goes, after that show aired on Art Bell, the feds came in these black Suburbans, and they took his ranch, or that portion of it with the hole, and they fenced it off, and nobody can go there anymore. And that was the end of the hole. When the guy never clearly identified himself, so the area of the hole could never be clearly identified. Well, then there was another show about 5 years ago, where this TV show decides, was it a local, I think it was also a local TV show. They decide, since it's a local story, they decide they're going to go investigate. So they go to Yakima, and they find a Native American on this windy, like, logging road or something. And they ask the Native American, do you know where the hole is? And the guy goes, yeah, but I can't show it to you because it's sacred, but I can talk to you about it. So then he talks to you about the hole and the spiritualness of it and this and that. But we never get to see the hole again. But I have a feeling the hole, because there's no mention of the hole before that, and it all started with the Art Bell story, and it could never be corroborated. But I have a feeling that was just one of those weird-ass things he does to get ratings and attention and to stir up a little bit of controversy. But there's a couple other weird stories, weird things that the whole phenomenon starts at the Art Bell show. So I'm a little, you know, since he did that, the guy flying over Area 51 show, which is clearly faked, was clearly stupid. He was in cahoots with whoever was recording whatever was supposed to be coming from the plane. I really just lost all respect for him. And I think, you know, most of the guys coming on are set up. So when Art Bell debated Morgyle about the flat earth, I'll tell you what, I'll believe Art Bell is not controlled opposition when he has one of us fakeologists on his show and we offer an intellectual conversation. That's when I'll believe it. Until then, I would say Art Bell is controlled opposition, and anyone he has on his show is highly suspected at being also controlled opposition. So for me, Morgyle, once you went on that show, you sealed the deal for me. I was like, that's all I needed to know. I know you're controlled opposition now. And now there's another post, Art Bell, Jay Wiedner, Moon Hoax Debate. I hope Jay does a better job, because if Jay folds like the Morgyle folded, which I felt was on purpose, you lost the debate on purpose, dude. Come on, man. Felt like on purpose to me. So, anyway, that's my deal on that. All right, couple other things to talk about. We got the Challenger crew hiding in plain sight. I don't know. I mean, there's faces that look alike. So maybe, possibly. What if it was just that easy? What if they didn't even have to kill anyone? What if you didn't even have to change your name? Just don't even change your name. Go, yeah, that guy. Just go out of your daily life. Even if you found Elvis. Even if you found Elvis. How would you get that out? You could get it on the internet, but what if there's bots actively seeking certain words and phrases, and then once they seek them, they disable them so they can never be put out over the internet? I mean, these guys could be hiding in plain sight forever and no one would ever find out except for word of mouth. So Ab did a post on Challenger crew hiding in plain sight. Ball Earth Skeptic Roundtable is another one of Ab's posts. Ball Earth? That's the dumbest shit I ever heard. I'm sorry, JLB. That's some pretty stupid shit. Why are you complicating stuff that doesn't need to be complicated? That's what it seems like to me. You're just talking in circles around and around and around of the same dumbass things. And I listened. I decided, okay, I better listen to a couple of Flat Earth videos. I better do it. Just so I can see what's going on. So number one, I start listening to the video and I'm feeling good. He's saying stuff. So this is what I did. I said, I'm going to start listening with a neutral feeling. So, I'm completely neutral. I'm not disliking it. I'm not liking it. Neutral. So I thought, I'm going to keep track of my feelings as I listen to the video and see how I feel. And why would I feel that way? Because I think we are highly emotionally manipulated. And unless you know it, you can't fight it. It's in charge of you. But once you know you're being emotionally manipulated, then you can control it. So I'm listening to the Flat Earth video, and this one was by... can I find it? Which one was it? I don't think it was the Morgile. I hate that stupid name. It's a dumb name. I'm sorry. It reminds me of Morgellons disease, the Morgile. It really does. You know that fake disease they have on the internet? Morgellons disease, where these little hairs are like some sort of fibers are supposed to be popping out of your skin, which I've never seen on the internet. You know, they all have like close-up pictures of it, but they won't have like, you know, an actual person's hand with the things coming out of it. I don't know. The reports on the internet are like this one lady, she's like, I have Morgellons disease. And these little worm-like things keep coming out of my skin. And I feel like one's about to erupt. I'm going to videotape it. So this is a video. She's got her camera on it. Oh, my God. Here it's about to come. It's about to come out of my skin. And then it fades to black. And then, then we see here it is. And there's this wiry sort of thready thing on a piece of paper. That came out of my skin. I was going to show it to you guys, but it was so gross I couldn't show you. But I pulled it out and there it is. Well, what? I mean, the whole video was, it was saying something like, live Morgellons disease. Like, you know, you saw it happening, but you didn't see it happening. You didn't see anything. In the end, you saw nothing. Because it faded to black. So disease, I'm almost sure of it. That's what Morgah reminds me of. So I'm thinking that's on purpose, maybe. All right. What Flat Earth video was it? I'll have to get back to you on that one. So now I'm watching the Flat Earth video with neutral emotion. As I start to watch it, he says this fact and that fact and another fact, and I'm feeling good. With each fact he says, I feel good. I feel happy, actually. I agree with you. I'm actually feeling calm and satisfied as he's talking and happy. I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I feeling happy? Because he's telling me facts I already know. In the beginning of the video, I'm already being subjected to confirmation bias. So I continue to listen. And he continues to give me facts I already know. He continues to give me situations that are already known to be doubtful. And I'm feeling good about that too, because I know about those. Those are doubtful, you're right. Yeah, I know about that, yeah. I know about that doubtful situation. I'm starting to feel proud of myself because everything he's saying, I already know. I'm feeling good about it, yeah. And maybe he's putting it in a new way and talking complicated about it. But I know about it, so I'm feeling good about myself. So in that way, I think these Flat Earth videos are incredibly manipulative to the listener. Why should I be feeling good about facts I already know? Because he's trying to make me feel good. That video that I'm watching, that Flat Earth video, is me complimenting myself for my knowledge. He's not telling me anything new. There's no new knowledge. And in fact, the actual Flat Earth model is rarely even discussed. So it did prove one thing, that these videos are there to manipulate you emotionally and to keep you from looking too much. Because you already feel satisfied. You already feel happy at the end of the video. You don't want to go look and research things yourself. And I dare say, are you one to watch a Flat Earth video and then not go and look at the information yourself? Here's one piece of information that the Flat Earth people use all the time. They say, we don't take the shortest route when we fly in the Southern Hemisphere. Why not? We could take a shorter route if we went over the pole, but we don't. Why not? Well, here's the reason. It's because airplanes only fly to hubs. They don't fly the shortest route anyway. They only fly to their hub. And if their hub is way off the beaten path, way off the shortest route, well, they're going to fly that too. They got to stop for gas. They're not going to land a plane at an airport where there's nobody at. Airplanes fly to airports where there's hubs so they can make their interconnecting flight. So, of course, they're not taking the shortest route. If you were a flat earth person and you wanted to prove to me that airplanes don't take the shortest route, then you would have to prove to me that an airplane who was flying from hub to hub to hub is longer than another route of an airplane flying from hub to hub to hub. But what's happening now is they're showing an airplane straight from one point on Earth to another point on Earth, and they're saying the shortest route is over the South Pole. But that couldn't happen anyway, because airplanes don't ever fly like that. They fly from hub to hub to hub. Boom. End of that story, Flat Earth debaters. What do you think of that? But that's what they do. They take Flat Earth video people, they take super simple concepts and muck them all up. Make them all complicated when they don't need to be complicated. That's a problem with flat earth debate. All right. And now, hey, John LeBon, I notice you're still talking about flat earth. And you could call it ball earth if you want. But that's just playing with words. You're still talking about flat earth because you're comparing it to that. When I talked to you, you said you had a purpose for talking about flat earth. There's a reason you were doing it. So I'd like to know, what is your reason, John LeBon? Let me know. Get a hold of me. Let me know what your reason is. Because right now, seems like you're on the bandwagon. And right now, I'll be honest, it seems like you're part of that controlled opposition, mucking up the waters of reality with your flat earth business. Then when you had David Weiss on your show, I was even more suspicious of your activities, John. Not feeling so good about you anymore, John LeBon. I'm feeling like you have a purpose. It's not to solve anything, but to create more confusion. But if you got a plan, let me know, and I'll retract everything I said, and I'll say, nope, John's a good guy. He's out there, and he just wants to find the truth. But so far, every time I listen to one of your flat earth or round earth or spherical earth or ball earth debates, sounds like you're just mucking up the water. What are you getting down to? What are you trying to solve? What's the deal here? You just going to talk about the same thing over and over and over and over and over? All right. PK, he did a keep it simple, stupid. PK is for a very select audience. And that's good. We need people for all different kinds of audiences in our debate, in our fakery debate. So I appreciate that. There's a special audience for that. Appreciate that. New ball earth skeptic on the scene. I will be happy. I'm looking forward to the day when we can no longer talk about this ball earth flat earth nonsense. I will be looking forward to the day. Here's another thing that flat earth people bring up that's an absolute lie. Well, you know in the past how we used to think the earth was flat? No, we didn't used to think. There might have been a time in the Middle Ages when a bunch of idiots thought the earth was flat. But in ancient history, and I'm a student of ancient archaeology myself, nobody thought the earth was flat. Nobody. They all assumed it was round. Because they saw the moon was round. Oh, we must be round. Oh, look, our shadow on the moon is round. It makes sense we're round. The sun is round, so what? I bet we're round too. So flat earth people, either you're ignorant of history, or you're trying to deceive on purpose. Nobody thought the earth people did not think the Earth used to be flat. It was a very small subsection of this one tiny group in Europe. That's it. You go ask ancient peoples. Go ask aboriginals go ask some African tribes who never have had formal education. Ask them, do you think the Earth is flat or round? Ask, see what they'll say. They'll go and then ask why. You'll get the same answer from them. So no, ancient peoples did not think the Earth used to be flat. Yet you keep saying it. So really, flat Earth people, you got to be the most ignorant group of people I ever had the pleasure of listening to research from. Because you continually say the same wrong statements in every damn video. That's why I had to stop listening to them. I couldn't handle it anymore. I'm just tired of the outright lies I keep hearing from you. So, that's what's the problem with the flat earth debate, people. I feel like they're intentionally misleading their audience. But they do it in a way that's clever. They do it in a way where they flatter the audience and where they emotionally manipulate the audience. So I shouldn't have been feeling super happy about myself when I listened to those flat earth videos. I should have been feeling neutral if I was learning just about information. So beware. Next time you listen to a flat earth video, perhaps be aware that you might be emotionally manipulated. And maybe do an emotion check. Say, okay, I'm going to watch the video with neutral emotion. I'm going to check my emotions as I go through this video. Why do I feel happy right now? And examine that. Why do I feel unhappy if that's exactly what you feel? Examine that. I think that's one of the ways the media gets us, is manipulating us emotionally. All right. Another flat earth video idea that I had. So perhaps we do have a few problems with things like seeing farther away than we can, like the curvature of the earth isn't a ball like they said. Well, what if this is the case? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out. What if the earth's diameter is larger than we thought? In this way, also the curvature will not match a smaller diameter Earth. We would need a larger diameter Earth to represent reality. What if that's the case? That's why we can see farther down the horizon than we are supposed to see, because the Earth is larger than we thought. That could be another one. We're just a bigger sphere. We're not flat. We're just a larger sphere. I don't know. I just thought about that. Let's throw that out there. Maybe that's what's going on. All right. Ab made a good post. I wanted to talk about the Irish were discriminated against. The British made sure of it. This story touches on some of the themes of this blog. Darwin even said at one point that the Irish came from the lower line of development, as evidenced by their Cro-Magnon-like skulls. As slaves, they were given away, not even sold. So the story goes. Yeah, Darwin. Oh, Darwin. He was so mean to the Irish. If you asked who were the bottom on the totem pole, Darwin would have said, so he had them all. Let's see if I can find the link before I say something wrong. How Darwin felt about the Irish. Darwin felt about the Irish. Let's see. Social Darwinism. Darwin and the Irish again. He thought Irish were the dumbest people on earth. He thought the Irish were the closest to monkeys. He really didn't like the Irish at all. Which is funny, right? Because that was the British government's feeling as well. So isn't it interesting that Darwin's idea about the Irish was the same as the British government? Isn't that funny? The same? Not different at all? So, whatever case Darwin felt his health. Nope, that's not it. An Irish gentleman, complete stranger, called Father Monday and said, "Oh, I have to do a little more work. These links aren't coming up very well." But all right. Well, that is about everything I wanted to talk about today. Just the sounds. Let's go back and play a few more sounds of Italy. So it's a short show today, not too long. Let's play them again. I'll play them first and see if you can tell what they are. All right, let's see. Just one. Let's see. All right, here's the first sound. Was the airplane. The captain was talking Italian. Oh, wait, cicadas. Here's the next one. Oh, I turned it down for the airplane. Now I can't even hear it. Hold on. So this is lots of cicadas. In Frascati, Italy, there's one cicada. New York has a ton of cicadas. If you ever been there in the summertime, they're so loud. They ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch like that sound. When I first got there, I asked my neighbor, "What's that sound?" And she goes, "Oh, that's the air conditionings." "What? That's the sound of the air conditioners they make in the summer." "What?" The local people actually thought the cicada sounds or the air conditioner sounds. They couldn't tell the difference. You see how stupid people can be? How easy they are tricked? How they want things to match their known universe, and if they don't, a simple explanation will match it up for them. How could you possibly mistake cicadas to air conditioning? And I said, "How do you know it's air conditioner?" She goes, "Well, because we only use air conditioner in the summer, and these sounds are only in the summer." The funny thing is, right when she said that, I looked down, and at my feet, amongst the leaves, the dead leaves in the summer, because in New York, leaves drop pretty early, because all those trees, I don't know why, but I don't think those trees are healthy, like in New York City. There's like cicada shells all over the floor. They're even there in my feet. New Yorkers don't look at the floor. They don't look down. They don't want to know what's on the sidewalk. It's probably good, you know. Sorry about that.
Pezzo in prato e sta fermo come me. Ma
faccio un passo, lui mi vede, è già fuggito, respiro.
And it was at a park, this the concert of the Rifandazion Partito Comunista, the Reformed Communist Party. And it was families, and the kids had their bikes and were, you know, riding around the fountain of the park. It was just a lovely evening, families and getting together and having a nice Saturday night out. It's quite a lovely event to go to. One of my favorite times in Italy, just doing what the locals do. Church Bells of Frascati. Yeah, that's me walking through Simon's garden, but let me go real forward and see if I...
It's a hand-me-down shirt. It's cute.
Oh, that's me and Vidir talking. In Simon's garden?
It's cute.
Aw, I didn't know I had that on the end of that. Simon's bench swing. That's also in his garden. I want to say, Simon, thank you very much for being such a wonderful host. Inviting us to your home. You're just such an amazing person. I'm just so happy to get to know you. Just appreciate that. I want to publicly thank you for it also. All right. I think we can wrap it up now. Just doing a short show. I hadn't done a show last week. I want to make sure I get a show in there. So this has been KHAM Radio, episode 44. Just got back from Italy, visiting Simon Shack and Hoi Polloi. Simon's a really good cook, by the way. Makes delicious food. He's excellent in the kitchen. I didn't see Hoi cook. No, it was Simon's house. So we didn't cook much either. All right, we are going to end KHAM Radio with a Simon Shack Reality song, Golden Days. There's Simon, Golden Days. Only a couple weeks left of summer. I hope you guys are getting out there and doing something fun, enjoying that sunshine before you get back to the winter and the clouds. It's August 13th, 2015, and this has been episode 44 of KHAM Radio. Take care, y'all.